What's up, everybody? Michael Johnson here with the Business Choreography Podcast, and I'm excited you joined me today because we have a very special guest. Today, we are joined by Jason Yerusi. Jason is a private fund manager of over $300 million in commercial real estate. Since 2017, his company, Yerusi Holdings, has amassed over 3,000 apartment and commercial real estate units. Jason has built and exited multiple companies, construction, restaurants, a brewery, and multiple large apartment communities. Jason is the host of Live 100 podcast and the Multifamily Live podcast, and runs a seven-figure multifamily mastermind and coaches clients on the Live or Live 100 principles. Holy cow, we're so lucky to have him here today. Guys, I can't wait for you to meet him. So we're going to cue the intro and we're going to jump right in. Listen, there's a lot to learn when growing and scaling your business.
That's why we created the Business Choreography Podcast, where we talk about choreographing your marketing, operations, and sales into dynamic systems that increase your revenue and your impact.
We'll explore solid business principles and discuss all things that make businesses dance to success with clarity.
We'll help you figure out where the holes are in your business and what you can do to fix them. Think of us as your official business choreographers, aka your insider growth strategists.
Remember, your choreography matters. Welcome to the Business Choreography Podcast. Jason, thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, I'm really excited to be here. Great intro. I'm excited to dive in.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, and a lot to share with the audience. So the first thing we're going to do, though, everybody knows when they listen to the show that we start off with your backstory. I always feel like it's a great place to begin hearing kind of how you winded through this crazy journey to do these incredible things that you're doing, because I think that we all kind of are delusional that it's going to be a straight line to get there. And yet we know it's going to be a winding road. So let's hear about your winding road. Let's hear about the ups and the downs, and let's start with that.
You know, it's funny you put it that way, because it just spawned a thought in my mind is that, you know, I came out of school with a finance degree, and all my friends, they went into, you know, have just standard jobs. And for whatever reason, I just had this impetus to just not do that. Right. And so I moved to New York City, and they're all, you know, starting their job, right, figuring out that life. And I went completely the opposite direction. So what that meant is that I started working in bars, restaurants, doing all these things that were just like filler jobs, but they actually started to craft my persona and just craft my idea about, you know, how life should look. And so I had a really non-traditional route, right? I started working in these bars and restaurants, and just so happened to work at this very large outside bar and restaurant that became very popular, but at the time was just a small little bar. And I got exposed to this owner there who was very outgoing and open, and just in terms of just business creation. And so we were able to take this little rusty outdoor bar from just its own little thing and 25 times the revenue on this bar in the course of just a matter of a couple of years. And it became the biggest seller of Corona in 3 months in the entire world for 2 years running. So it was so crazy. But I just got to see and be exposed to so many different people that were working there. At one point, there was like 300 employees just from all different parts. But it just opened my eyes just all the different ways you could do things. And that led me into opening up my own, you know, restaurants. I opened up a bar, opened up a brewery, you know, then sold the breweries. And then that led us into, you know, early 2010 and 11. And Hurricane Sandy happened in New Jersey, well, along the East Coast, right? And that just created so much decimation, all these hundreds of thousands of homes affected, right? And my dad, he's just retired, but he had this very unique construction business where he would move houses, right? He would take a house off his foundation and move it, right? He'd move it down the road. He would move it away from a street. So, and he would, you know, if the foundation was messed up, he would, you know, lift it up, so it, you know, fix the foundation. And he would lift houses higher because hopefully they wouldn't flood anymore. They put a new foundation, raise them up, build stairs up there. Lo and behold, this storm happens. And before this, my dad's doing, with this unique business, like 10 to 12 projects a year, right? Always like very weird, you know, out of the box projects. Overnight, his phone starts going from a couple times a month to 1,000 calls a day, because everybody needs their house lifted to hopefully get home and then not flood in the future. So at the time, you know, my girlfriend, now my wife, Peely, she was working with me and for me at these bars, restaurant. My little brother, he was working for me, you know, this. We pick up you know, and moved to New Jersey to help dad with the family business. And so he goes to those 10, 12 jobs that we were doing a year to about 250 of these, that we were 250, 300 on the high level that we were doing of these a year. And what constantly was this thing that was this through line with me is that we were always doing these very transactional jobs, right? So the bar, you picture a bar, right? You got to serve a beer to get a dollar. If you don't go where it's an outdoor bar and it rains, right? You know, there's no work, right? There's no money, right? Well, here in the construction world, we're doing this very unique thing, very dangerous business where we're lifting something that's, you know, 50, 100, 200 tons above, up in the air, right? Very high risk, very high profile. So it wasn't something we could outsource, right? So we were very highly involved. And again, I'm doing a business that I actively have to be doing, right? If I'm not doing that business, we just decide not to show up today when there's no revenue. So Peely, you know, my girlfriend, my now wife, you know, pregnant with our first child, and we're like, we are so busy. We have to find a way to just be able to start getting back our control. Cause you know, and a lot of times in life, we just get stuck in this pattern where we're just so busy. And if you ask yourself what you did yesterday, last week, you have no idea. You just know it was just really busy and crazy. And the next day happens and the next day. And so we had to find a way to just stop the pattern of craziness. And what we thought was going to be that pattern was the word real estate. But with real estate, it's so many things under this one word, right? You could flip houses, you could wholesale house, you could do Airbnb, long-term investing, out-of-state investing, apartment buildings, tax liens. You could do all these different things, right? So we did what we thought was logical. You know, Peely's pregnant with our first kiddo. She's getting a real estate license. And then we started flipping houses. So we're still doing this with dad, right? We're really busy with the construction. And now we're doing all this activity with the flipping. And we're like, well, man, we're going the wrong way. We were doing good with the flipping. We were making some good money. But it was leading us further from the goal to be able to control and get back our life and our time. Started doing some Airbnbs, wholesale. And we just kept trying things and then just saying, okay, that's okay. But it's just not right. Came upon someone who was investing out of state, right? And they were investing in rentals out of state. I'm like, oh, interesting, right? So we went out there and brought some rentals, but instead of just buying a one family, I just had an idea. I'll buy some two units, some three units, and some four units. And what that enabled here is that because we're investing 1,000 miles away, I couldn't run to the store, run to Home Depot, run out there to the house, run out there and just put myself in the way. So it forced me to put together the right team, the right process, the right plan. Lo and behold, you know, we have contractors doing the work. We have property managers getting leased. And then we have tenants now paying rent. Lo and behold, we start getting cash flow. But that was that first moment that I was like, okay, I think we're on to something. However, it was just, it wasn't scalable, right? To have like 20, right. 50, 70 duplexes all around the country just seemed like, you know, operational madness. So it just kept asking that question, like, what are we missing? And came a podcast just like this, where people were talking about things and someone was buying apartment buildings. And that was that light bulb moment, because remember, I'd had small restaurants and very, very large restaurants. And if you think about the pattern, they're exactly the same process, right? But you know, dinner's only from, you know, 5 to 7, 5 to 8, 6 to 8, right? So you can only have too many turns in a 12-seat restaurant. But if you have 100 seats, right, it's now on you that you can go and maximize in the economies of scale. So that light bulb went off and we sold off all the small properties, dove all in 2015, 16 to learn everything we could about large apartment investing. And in 2017, we brought our first property in Louisville, Kentucky. That was a 94 unit. So we brought that, did, you know, phenomenal with the investment. And we've done close to about 27, 28 of them now in 7 different states.
Wow. Wow. 94 unit building. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge change from a couple unit to three unit. What a big difference.
You know, what I tell people is that it is the same process going from small to large. And although many times in life, large seems more risky, when you think about it, if you have a single family home and it's a rental, you're either 100% occupied or 0% occupied. And even if you're 100% occupied, you might be 0% economic occupied if they're not paying. Right. You only have one roof, you have one HVAC, you have one everything, right? So you're very reliant on that one tenant, that one source of income. And the bank's saying, well, this is really risky. So I have to look at you too and just make sure you have some financial wherewithal, because if that tenant doesn't pay or you're not occupied, right? Well, now I'm at risk as the bank, right? Well, banks love the larger properties. Well, why is that? I mean, why are all these big institutions going after larger properties? Because if I have 100 units and let's say I have 7 vacancies, right? Well, I still have 93 tenants that can come in there, that can pay rent, that can most notably, if I've purchased this correctly, be able to pay for all the expenses, cover the mortgage, and create cash flow. And then it can also help me to cover, you know, these one-time expenses, right? I have some windows that have to be replaced, or I have, you know, an HVAC that goes, or I need to repair sort of roof. Well, I have 93 tenants that can help me to afford this. And because it's a large investment, I'm able to hire a team as part of this investment. So that single family or the two family or the six family, I can't have a full-time leasing person. I can't have a dedicated maintenance guy. I just can't afford it, right? I can't afford to have that team buy the property. But when I get a larger property, right, the 94 unit, you know, I have a whole leasing staff. I have a property management company. I have a 1.5 maintenance guys, right? So I have a whole team that's now dedicated to run that property. So it gets a lot more from an operational standpoint. It gets a lot more efficient and a lot more able for you to push the levers. Right. There's only so many things you can do on a single family house where, you know, on that 94 unit, for instance, we actually went in there and did a water savings program because utilities, especially on these older properties that is a master meter, that's one of your biggest expenses is that your utilities, right? Older utilities. So we went in there, change out all the toilets, change out all the faucets, right? And added in aerators. We cut down our water bill by 30%.
Wow.
And if you look at the investment based on how they're usually valued on a cap rate, it ended up increasing the value by the change in toilets by about $350,000 at the time. So if you think about that, if you think about a flip or anything else, you go change your toilet, be like, oh, I changed my toilet. I'm going to charge you. How about you pay me $350,000, right? So you can do these on the bigger investments. You can do these small changes. And the cool thing about that is that that really had no downward effect on the tenants. I made the property operate more efficiently, more valuable, and it didn't even talk about any of the income change we had. So it really had no downward effect on the tenant either.
Wow. And that right there is what we would consider great choreography, because you were looking in there to optimize and try to figure out how you could improve not only the experience for the tenant, but also the experience for you guys and operating it and making sure it was the best experience possible. And I think that it's such a cool story to come from those single units. I mean, I don't know if you've been in business for a long time, you know, I've had my fair share of property and rentals and transferring to that larger multifamily, multiple units always seems so daunting and always seemed like such a crazy jump to go to. But when I hear stories like this, you know, it kind of gets that real estate bug back in my heart again, going, oh, wow, that's really cool. How cool did you do that? That's neat because you optimized it and choreographed a great experience for all parties involved. That's incredible. Talk to me a little bit more about this idea of Live 100 and how that all fits in with this journey and this path that you're on. And, you know, cause you're clearly rocking the real estate space.
You know, I'll touch a little bit on some of the choreography. It's just interesting how you phrase that there, because we found that, you know, when a tenant has a new ownership coming in, right, their worst thing is that, oh, my rent's just going to go up. Right. And so, but as you come in there, you know, typically we've gone is that if we can make this a better place to live, right? We make this a better place to live, it's going to create more revenue. And that more revenue is going to create a bigger bottom line, which is going to create a better experience for our investors. But it's also going to help the tenants, right? But if you go in there and just raise the rent, right? Well, the tenants, it's exactly their worst nightmare. But if you go in there and like, listen, I know that you have had deferred maintenance. We take care of it. You know, we increase the curb appeal. You know, we brighten the lights, make this a safer place, more apart. We make this a better experience. The tenants are going to be more willing and able to want to stay there. And they're going to be more willing to accept rent increases, right? So it's going to help you, which ultimately helps the property. And when you talk to the larger properties, like it does come down, and this will lead into Live 100, is that it's a lot in the mindset, right? We'll have a lot that will come into the multifamily mastermind, like, well, how big I can go? It's like, you can do any size, right? You can win in any place. You can, there's investors winning in any and every market, right? But you have to be focused on the market and any size property, but you have to be focused on the size of property. And most of the time people will say, well, I'll start with a 10 unit and then I'll go to 100 unit. But it's like, you know, I want to learn to ride a bike. I'm going to go to swim first, right? Like, you don't need to do that. But if your mind tells you have to do that, that's fine for you to do it,
right?
We saw it from our side that when we did the 3 units. We're like, okay, we didn't know the 94 unit existed. But when we learned that you could do that, it made sense because we had seen small and big before. So we just made the jump, right? Sometimes people will go small before they go big. And sometimes people just go big and it just goes where their mind is ready, right? And for me, you know, for Live 100, we got back that a lot of what we did is that we had to break patterns, right? And you know, this we'll talk a lot now, that just New Year's resolutions, right? Like 92% of New Year's resolutions fail. Why? Because you're trying to break a pattern in such a big way on such a nominal day without the foundation be built, right? So this is, Live 100 came from a series of just that I had to learn, I had to break bad habits to build a future that I wanted. So I just magnify those results. And it started a lot is that, you know, we talk about the bar and restaurant world is that we would stay up late. We would have all these things, right? And we would have a very unconventional life, right? And so we had to take back and take control of our day. And that started by, I just had to repattern my life, right? Especially with young kids. I had to start getting up early. So I started getting up at 4:32 a.m., 4:32:1 to go, right? I'd get up at 4:32 a.m., have my moment. I'd meditate, you know, I'd work out. I'd have the time for myself in the morning. And what that did, it was, it allowed me to take control back to my life. It was the pattern I had to break. So the day when it started, I had already created wins because, you know, you're in business that when the day starts, it can go in 50 different ways.
Right.
And you have no control if you lead from just being out of control from the second you wake up into your day. And most, they wake up, you know, they hit the snooze button, you know, hit it again. Maybe they get up a couple minutes late, stub their toe because they're rushing, right? They eat something poor. They're rushing out. They're late for work. They get stuck in traffic, right? They're mad. They rush into work. They have 10 fires throughout the day. They get to the end of the day. They get stuck in traffic again. Get home, you know, have a beer, have something poor to eat because they don't feel like cooking, right? Go watch Netflix and say never again, right? And then the next day happens and the next day. And now it's a month, decade, 20 years down the road, right? And you say, what just happened? And what just happened is that you've lost control, is that, you know, we think of time being against us, but we have control of our time. We just have to make the choices to break the patterns that maybe they did serve us at one point, but they no longer serve where you want to go, right? And you have a lot of high level listeners that are listening here that they want to change their outcome, right? But we'd be silly to think that we're going to change our outcome if we're still doing the same thing each and every day that's gotten to where we are. Right. And so I had to change a lot of patterns, right? I had to do a lot of things to just make myself do things even when I don't want to, right? So, you know, I'll get up and I'll work out every day, regardless of how I feel, the weather, you know, if I worked out like sore, I just do it every morning. And then do I want to do it every morning? No, absolutely not. But I just do it because it's put me in a position that it sets the stage for how the rest of my day will go and allows me to go in there and, you know, not everything's perfect every day. And when I have won the morning, I've at least created an outcome for myself that when the next thing happens, I have a clear mind and focused mind that I can go and lead in there. And we started getting a lot of questions with really how we operated. And that's where Live 100 came to. You know, we came with these three big foundational patterns of break, build, and magnify that have led to really nine pillars of just being self-aware about who you are, creating your journey of who you want to be so you can find your greatness, so you can have intentional execution and just be uncomfortably brave to where you want to go. And then so that allows you to accelerate your growth. And so you can have the rise that we all deserve to have, right? We all deserve to have the life we want. And most of the time we're looking outwards of why we don't have it, when in fact, if we can just turn it and start to look inwards, we start to become the person that we're meant to be. And not only does it help us, but it helps everyone behind us, in front of us, and surrounding us to have the lives they want to.
Right. Tell us a little bit about the show and how that's run and really the kind of the guts of it so that everybody knows that they should go listen.
Yeah, that's great. So Live 100, Live 100 podcast. We've actually been very new on this one. So we're only like 40 or so episodes out, but we've had a ton of growth and it's a lot of fun. It's just a direct, you know, no fluff podcast. We get in there. They're typically about 10 minutes. We just hit on an agenda here of what is the next step out of the gate for you to go launch into this. So the last part we were talking about is, you know, imposter syndrome, which is made up theory. People that, I feel like an imposter. Well, imposter based on what, right? And the imposter based on you, how you see yourself versus other people, because typically we've lost sight of our goals. And if you think about, you know, think about when you're a kid, right? You'd have these things like, I want to go, you know, play for the Knicks, or I want to go, you know, be a knight or an astronaut or whatever these is, but you have these goals because you see them in your eyes. But we've lost track of our goals today because we no longer see them with like the kids' glasses, right? We see Instagram and we see someone else's goals and we think that that's our goals, right? And we think that those are the goals we want because we've lost track of what is actually our goal. Because even, you know, if you're listening, you're like, well, I want to make $1 million. Okay, that's a fantastic goal. But if I was to ask you why, do you have a clear answer? Because many times people will set numerical goals, but there's no backing behind them.
Right.
I want to have financial freedom. What does that mean? And I want to have $1 million. Well, does that give you financial freedom? And when you break down the goal, someone could have $12,000 of cash flow, you know, of just recurring cash flow a month and have the life they want. And they're out here having this big dream of making $1 million. Well, okay, well, let's break it down. What do you actually need and what do you actually want? Would you rather have $12,000 a month and you get to travel as much as you want, have all the free time, you work 2 hours a day, or do you want to, you know, go for $1 million? You don't know why, but you're going to work 23 hours a day and have no life, not see your friends, not see your family, and not have any part, right? So if we get back to the pattern of just discovering our goals, right, that's what Live 100 came to. It's the part where if you don't have the fitness, if you don't have the focus, you don't have the faith, if you don't have just the relationships you want, you don't have the deep pockets you want, this is the place you can come at Live 100. We're going to talk about the patterns that we can break together to build the future that we deserve to have so we can get the results that we want.
Love that. I think it's so important. And part of why we wanted to have you on the show is because we spend a lot of time, of course, it's the namesake. We talk about business choreography, but I think it's easy to overlook the fact that we have to choreograph all parts of our business. And that includes our personal life. It includes, like you just said, why we're doing this. And if you don't choreograph that portion of it, you may end up with this great business and your life sucks. And yeah, that's not really what you did it for. That's not why you got into it. And if you don't decide, well, the rest of the world will decide for you. And so it's really easy to get lost in that. So I think this is super important. And working on this allows you to get in and start to consciously choreograph your life and your way of doing it that's going to fit best with your why and really be able to guide you on that path. Now, I would imagine along the way, they're going to get some information about all the cool things that you've done in real estate too, because you also have a real estate podcast as well. I forgot already.
No, it's so Multifamily Live. We talk a lot of multifamily, but you know, it is really well said to be conscious about what you're doing, right? And so that bar that we went, that went from 25 times where we created all those coronas, there was a guy in there and his name was John, right? Well, John, you know, he was a homeless guy. And one night he walked out in all hours of night. It was like 3 a.m, right? We have all these bottles scattered on this outdoor bar, right? And every night, because of just the nature of the bar being crazy and shutting down, whatever, the owner had a horrible time finding the porters who would just clean up after. Well, this guy shows up, right? And he was aware. He's like, I'm a homeless guy, right? But I will show up every night and pick up these bottles for you. And I was like, what would it cost? Like, no, I'll just do that. I just want to do that, right? So he starts doing this, shows up every night, starts showing up every season, right? Lo and behold, now it's not only him, there's a couple other people out there, and he's taking these coronas and putting them in cases, right? And taking them away, right? And he's going recycling them, right? Well, he creates this business because he found someone else's problem, right? He started to create this solution. Well, years later, you know, I'd left, moved to the bar, I'm in the subway, and this just fantastically well-dressed guy is walking down the thing, you know, and you're in the subway, it's hot. Yeah, have you ever been in New York City, right? It's just sure. Miserable, right? And lo and behold, there's this guy just dressed in the nines. I look up and who is it? It's John, you know, and his nickname was Bottle John, right? Well, John had created such a successful life. He's got himself off the streets. He had now had a home, and he had his home. He's got his family back in home up in upper Manhattan, right? He had changed the story of his life by just being conscious of who he was, but not being happy with where he was. And he was no longer going to say, you know, what was me? He found someone else who had a problem. And he went out there and he created a solution, but he also did exactly what he said he was going to do. He said, I'm going to show up. And all hours of night, this guy would just show up. And he had no idea that this bar was going to turn into this crazy place where those couple of cases that he'd clean up every night would be a couple thousand cases every weekend, right? That he'd go and he did this and he started to create a team, create a business. And now he grew that business to help other people who had the same problem, right? So he was just conscious about, you know, him, his story, his life, but he wasn't settled on where he was. He knew he wanted more and he didn't know how he was going to get there, but he knew if he would just show up and be diligent to what he wanted to do, that you know, the future could be brighter. And ended up being brighter because he was conscious about what he wanted and creating an outcome, right, that got him to the level that he deserved to be at.
I love that. So, so powerful. And I think it really does lend itself to being focused on your outcome and your goal, like you're saying. And that takes work. It takes a little effort. And you got to start... Sometimes you got to start from where you were talking about earlier, where maybe you've hit the snooze button one too many times and you've just gotten in the habit. And now it's about setting up those those first steps and getting diligent and starting to build upon that. And it starts somewhere, picking up that first model. Step
is so important. And usually, because we get these goals, and like, that's why New Year's resolutions quit, is because we just create this audacious goal, but we forget about just taking the first step. Right. And we think about the first step being off like a 10 story building, when in fact, most of the time, you're just stepping off the curb. But if you take that first step, it usually does a couple things. One, you say, okay, I'm on the right track. Cool. Keep going. Two, I'm kind of off, and you just repivot it. Or three, and sometimes this is the best thing, like, that is an awful, awful direction. And then you just stop, right? So, and that's usually the part. If you take the step, what it does is at least if you're not in the right direction, eliminates where you shouldn't be going. And that's right. And many times it's just as powerful, because if you have 10 options, if you can just start taking steps, right, eventually you're going to get to the one you're supposed to take, right? Right. But you usually think that, well, I got to build this perfect pattern, right? And then you'll wait and spend all this time trying to build this perfect plan. Then you take that first step and realize it's a miserable idea, right? But you've wasted all this time when you could have just learned the lesson by just taking the step. And I really don't have the right answers. I don't have the right question, right? So if I don't know how to get to the answer, it's because I haven't learned the question. And most of my failures, early on through life, is that I was seeking an answer, but I didn't know the question I should be asking. And when I started turning it, that I had to figure out better questions. Well, what happened? Started to get better answers, and everything starts falling in place.
I love that. Talk to us a little bit about how our listeners can find their way to you and learn more.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, great questions here. Live 100 podcast. You can find us out there on all the social media, or podcast players out there. It's Live 100 podcast with Jason Yerusi. Live 100 is that website. And if you want to hear more about the real estate there, it's YerusiHoldings.com.
Nice. I love that. Gosh, this is one of my favorite topics. And we often on the show find ourselves talking about a lot of business type concepts, but I really want all of you listening to realize that this is so important. This is so valuable. You've got to get you straight, and you've got to get you on track. And if your finances and your marketing and all that stuff is working, and you're out of alignment and you're not heading the direction you need to go, especially with everything going on between your ears, then all that stuff is soon to fall. So you've got to get this all sorted. Jason can help you out with that. I'm so honored and privileged you'd come and spend some time sharing with us just your journey and the cool things that you're doing. But before we let you go, I want you to leave us with some sage words of wisdom, some last words that we can leave the audience with.
Yeah, well, it's going to lead off what you just said, right? Is that you have to build the life that you want, right? And many times we get stuck building someone else's life, and we can take back control, right? It's we think many times that if you stop doing something, the world's going to end, right? But most of the time we're juggling a bunch of things. And if we just stop and drop, we have 30 plates we're juggling, you drop, you realize that you really only need 3 of them.
Right.
And we can do that. We get back to actually what we should be doing.
I love that. Thanks so much, Jason. All of you listening, don't forget, it's important that you keep continuing on a regular basis to choreograph your business, all parts of your business, including what's going on up here, and taking care of you. Check out Jason's stuff, and we'll put all the links in the description. Until next time, we'll see you on the next episode of the Business Choreography Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today.
Want more business choreography?
Check out our website at bizchoreo.com to find out more.
And find out how the choreography for your marketing, operations, and sales can raise your revenue and create more impact.
Remember, every business needs choreography.